bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba bam.
Welcome to the Ba-Boo-Ba-Boo-Ba-Bum Show. It is, it's like I miss Bill doing his Bing Crosby after you do the
ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-
I mean, like, oh, really? Almost wow. Exactly. Nino looked like Bing.
Was he okay
with
that?
That's the name of my album. Nino looked like Bing.
It sounds like a tell-all book. That's kind of cool, though.
All right. I heard, I picked this story yesterday, and we didn't get to it. And then I heard Steve Grzanich do it on the news this morning, and I wanted to talk to you about it. I love to play games. My brother and sister are 7 and 9 years older than me, so they could pal around with one another. I was kind of like poor little Wendy, the only child.
Aww.
Well, they were, you know, experiencing different things in life when I was growing up, so I often made up my own games with the Chinese checkers board that I don't even know how to play Chinese checkers, but I...
with the marbles, right?
Yeah, I made up some pretty interesting games. I was very good at Yahtzee.
Oh, Yahtzee. Yahtzee is under... you think about it, I haven't played Yahtzee in, I don't know, 20
it.
Years, but Yahtzee was one of those that it was easy enough to play. It didn't take forever. There was a level of excitement in it that just wasn't in a lot of other games that over time could become mundane and boring for kids, you know, and it was, a lot of people could play it and you get to scream out Yahtzee. Yahtzee was a pretty good game.
They have a video Yahtzee. Version of it.
Yeah.
You know, listen, all right, I'll tell you right now, I'm hooked on Candy Crush. I really am. I'm on like level 3000.
Yeah, right. You're like the super OG star of that, right? Aren't you on the board of directors for Candy Crush at this point?
I should be. And you know what? It just enables me to shut my mind off. I have ADHD and sometimes I need to just not think about anything. So you play a stupid mindless game, which my son Dylan told me yesterday that's how he is with Red Dead Redemption, or the new one, Red Dead Dummy. I don't know what the new one is called. But he said it's mindless. You can put, you know, school behind you. You can put your shopping list behind you.
It's like a little bit of like a...
It's an escape.
An escape, right. You're just kind of releasing a little bit and getting away from all the regular real stuff.
But they have a Yahtzee version like that too, and I refuse to download it and play it because that part of the fun of Yahtzee was the sound it made in the cup.
The anticipation of the shake.
Yeah.
Like you're shaking it with everything on the line.
Did you have a leather cup? Because we had like an updated version of Yahtzee that had a leather cup.
That's really good. You had the good one. I think mine...
We had the plastic one, too.
Plastic cup, but if you look closely, I think the plastic cup was... it was formed to appear like
with
a leather...
the fake seams.
Right, exactly. The fake seams.
Maybe I was bamboozled. Maybe ours was... I could have sworn we had two ones. So I would play Yahtzee by myself. I would put the score sheet Wendy, and then that's Wendy, funny. And then I would sit on different sides of the table and play. I know, that's how lame I was. And then the game Perfection came out, which was something you really could play by yourself. Do you know what that is?
Well,
Yahtzee, the little pieces.
Yahtzee, you really. I'm trying to think this through here. You could play. You could. You don't have to have any kind of independence.
No, I know, but it's more fun with, you know,
other people.
But life is more fun with other people, Dave.
Whereas like chess would be difficult because you'd have to like, well, what should I do here? You know, you'd have to really not take sides with yourself.
Right, your strategy. Who would you side with?
Will I be dumb enough to fall for this? Let's see.
Well, I heard Steve Grzanich report this, and I really did mean to talk about this yesterday, but Bill and I ran amok. And that's the only time I run, when I run amok. Nonpartisan Uno is available, and they're encouraging family fun without the politics. Mattel has put together this new nonpartisan version of the card game Uno, and I know you're saying, what was political about it before?
Yeah, wasn't it just numbers?
Yeah, but it. Here's what they've changed. Nonpartisan Uno replaces red and blue cards, which might be seen as politically charged, with orange and purple. It also comes in a purple box instead of the usual red. And if someone starts talking politics while playing, anyone can grab the new veto card and play it to skip that person's turn if they're talking politics.
I don't know that that kids in general are really even up to speed with the whole red and blue thing as it relates to politics, because everything is out there red. And, you know, you got your, you know, cherry flavored stuff and blueberry. Not everyone's thinking, well, that's a Democrat candy bar.
I have never once really thought about
Yeah, that just seems like more like who's decided in the boardroom at the Uno Corporation to say, like, this is a problem. Maybe this is why people aren't playing our game. No, it's they need to make it more like Yahtzee.
Listen, Uno's pretty fun, and yeah. Uno is fun to play with younger kids. It's pretty easy to figure out, although I, off the top of my head, can't think of the rules right now. Do you want four of a kind? Oh, you match. If I put down a green three, you would have to put down either a three or a green-colored card.
Right, yeah, something okay. that matches with it, either the number or the corresponding color, and then you've got some of these wild cards in there, which maybe they should work on that. It's just, these cards are out of control. Let's adjust those, you know, which allows you to either put down different things or turn it around or make someone else draw a bunch. I don't know how they do it, but yeah, it's pretty simple. It's a lot of fun. That was a great game.
All right. Well, I got to give Mattel credit because they are cashing in on the divisiveness. And I know we've talked about this last year. There are people that might show up at your house that have different political views than you do. In the old days, you could discuss it and people would maybe learn something from one another. Now, someone's going to get mad and storm out of the house and take their pies with them, and that would ruin the whole Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah, so to preserve the pies.
So we talked about this last year where people are actually putting like a no politics sign, you know, like putting that circle with the diagonal line through it. I said this last year, I never went through with it, but I have a wreath on my front door, which I thought I was going to make into that diagonal thing that said no politics. Right. I didn't do it. No one did it. No one talked politics last year.
That's it. So if you have some other fun things to talk about, maybe it just doesn't come up. You know, just have other things going on.
You know what the thing is that's going on?
Yahtzee?
No. Nope. No. Animal bingo.
Animal bingo. Well, who doesn't love bingo?
Bingo's pretty fun, and my sister gets pretty into this. Her friend has a game with just the cards have different animals. They both are docents at Brookfield Zoo, so they're very into their animals. So it's not just like a cat or a dog. It's like a oscillating pea hen from Ecuador
so
or something.
There's some education in there.
There is. And so my sister asked, you know, do the boys want to play animal bingo? So I ran up past the boys and they're like, of course, she shouldn't even ask that. Of course. They look forward to it. My sister actually buys some gag gifts, some really nice little tiny gifts that she wraps up. And if you are the bingo winner, you get to pick from the prize bag. And I'm telling you, dinner is fun and everybody enjoys it, but we look forward to that stupid animal bingo after pie.
Well, if it's traditional, it's fun. And again, if you've mentioned, the stakes are high, right, to get the bragging rights to go along with the prizes. Now, the animals themselves, you know, I think on here's one thing that the internet is doing right is educating on the animal side. You can learn, but learn about different members of the animal community like Grumpy Cat, or I just learned today about Jill the Squirrel, who has her own blog with 640,000 followers.
What?
And she sleeps with her own little miniature teddy bear wherever she sleeps, and she was rescued from a hurricane, so I'm told, and wears, you know, hats and usually weather-appropriate costumes.
Yep. Jill the Squirrel.
Yeah, and her blog is This Girl is a Squirrel. As I think.
Jill the Squirrel. Yeah, This Girl is a Squirrel.
And she's got a little teddy bear that she has there. So,
God, she's pretty cute. I hate to tell you this.
Yeah, yeah, and it's well, that's what she does. You know, she works the cute angle. But here you are learning about some of those things, or, you know, or those goats that slide on the ice. There's all sorts of stuff happening every day on the internet. Check it out.
Yeah, but see, we've played this for so many years that nobody questions what the animal is. We just have like our stupid jokes. Like,
I mean, are they the normal kind of team photo? Is it like elephant, tiger?
No, it's I'm trying to think of the one that causes me to sing Bally High every year. It might be like
the lemur.
Lemur?
Yeah.
Lemur? What are you, French?
No, we always say this because when the first time that Esther and I ever went to the Brookfield Zoo, we went into the place where they have the
Hamill Family Play Center. Hamill Family Place. And you can dress up as one.
Yes, you can. Home of the lemurs. But Esther had said, ooh, lemurs. And so from from that day forward, and then now on to kids, that's a running joke that she calls them the lemurs.
Yeah, we have our, you know, your little stupid family jokes. But there's something like a belly... I don't remember what it is.
What does it
now
look like? Is it a bird?
I don't know. I can't even remember. I just know that I go into my belly high is calling every year. It's everybody laughs.
Okay.
I'm usually drunk on mimosas by this time. It's stupid, but we have fun and no one talks politics.
Is this an animal?
Yeah, it's like a belly high penguin or something.
Penguin.
I don't know what it is. I really can't tell you. I don't remember what kind of animal. Maybe it is a lemur. I'm not sure. But are there any games that your families play? Because I just, you know, really, the animal bingo works for us. Quite honestly, you could do any kind of bingo.
Yeah. Well, it's always fun. Instead of just like a number or something, right? It's good to have, you know, a little bit of extra fun kind of built into it. I'm trying to think of like what games, because Monopoly is a game that people have typically, but you know what? It always takes so long.
Yeah, and there's too many people.
Yeah, and then someone wants to be the banker, you know, and then they're trying to.
I was always the banker.
Yeah, okay. And or they're arguing over whether you get to be the shoe or the wheelbarrow. You know, it's just never easy. Just never easy. And then there's games that are just too hard. Like, they've got a new and updated version of that, the Game of Life. Remember the game?
Oh, yeah, I liked that.
Yeah, you opened it up and it had a little, it was sort of three-dimensional, had mountain ranges and
yes,
a little something or other.
And the wheel that my brother would always spit in to make it turn faster.
Whatever it would do.
Very good.
Yeah. So now they've updated it, and so you can choose different careers, some modern careers, and then you're obligated to, it's really kind of a pain. It's like all the negative things about life built into a game.
Yeah, all right, you don't want to do that. I can't remember. Bingo's fun. Jenga would be fun.
Okay, Jenga is just the game where things take out the block till it falls down.
Yeah,
right?
Like real life Tetris, sort of. Everything is in a square,
yeah.
And you.
Yeah, those are good.
Yeah, although that would be messy for your Thanksgiving table. You know?
Plus they make them now where it could do some serious damage. So if you're, because invariably they're going to start throwing the things at each other or hitting each other with them, or if it's really big and it falls down, it's a lot of wood usually.
Yeah. You could always play what is that called when you do movie
sounds like first syllable
charades.
Yeah, charades. Yeah, you could do charades for sure.
Do you play family games or do you just eat and go home?
Okay, I'm trying to think. The games are great. Card games are fun, but our kids lose they lose at least a few key cards in everything. So nothing is ever exactly right. They we got the Monopoly. They've got the, you know, Monopoly comes in a bunch of different things. You have the Simon game. If you know that one, where
that is the most fun.
Up.
That's another game I played by myself. Because
was it Wendy versus Wendy, or did you go Wendy versus Bobby?
Tried for my personal best.
Okay,
you know how many times you could do it, and then years later they came up with the Bop It. My kids had that.
Oh,
it's kind of like a handheld Simon, but like Bop It, Twist It. Run it underwater. No. Take the batteries out.
No, you would shake it.
Yes.
It was sort of like a shake weight.
Yes.
But it was done where you had to do it a certain.
That was fun.
Something was firing. I know that we've had that, and I know that there was some stiff competition, but I don't exactly remember how it all worked.
What about Mad Libs? That would be fun. A Thanksgiving Mad Libs. Do you remember Mad Libs?
Refresh me.
Mad Libs was a tablet of paper, and there'd be a story in it, and they would leave blanks for individual words, and it would say, pick an adjective. So you could pick any adjective. Pick a verb, pick a personal name, and then you'd read the story back. You'd just ask them at the beginning, here, give me an adjective. Here, give me a name. Here, give me a verb. And then you'd read the story, and it would be fun. You never did Mad Libs?
I don't think so. But 20 questions is one that can be good in a car ride, or we've done that before where you get to pick, you know, you're saying, I'm thinking of a place, or I'm thinking
we do that.
Of something, and then you have to get through the kind of the perfunctory, like, is it alive or dead? Is it a, you know, kind of like the RSTLNE and Wheel of Fortune, you know, where everybody's got to kind of get through to, it's a live person, and then you sort of kind of figure out what it is. So that's one that people do.
We play a game typically when we're at Red Lobster. This, I don't know why, but this is where it comes up, where one of us just starts and they say, I'm thinking of a character from The Simpsons. There's no clue. There's no nothing. And we just sit there. It's really not that fun because you know how many characters are on The Simpsons to just go through? But my boys usually know which character the other one has chosen.
That's so crazy. We have a game like that kind of too, where it's you pick a movie and then you name off the characters. So in regardless of the movie, so if it's like Guardians of the Galaxy, then everybody gets through. And once you name that character, you can't name it again.
Oh, it's sort of
a little bit of musical chairs, a little hot potato, a little, you know, process of elimination, and then you get to the point where some of those characters are pretty obscure. It has to be something that at least one of us can verify, like, oh yeah, okay, that's a, you know, because then you get down to like, well, that one episode there was this one friend of the sister that showed up, you know, and so you have to be able to, and then, but someone has to agree, okay, yeah, she, remember her, she, her name was, you know, Betsy or something.
That's and my sister's name. It's weird you say that.
Yeah. And then you can get to that where you're able to go ahead and do that. Or we'll do lines from a movie. So pick a movie and then everybody has to do some kind of line till we run out. And then whoever's the last person standing or knowing one, like, I guess.
But would you do that with the kids? Because that's really good that they know lines from movies. I never even remember what I've seen.
They're pretty good. It's certain things, you know, or if it's one of the shows that they watch, like they know everything. So
I have a Thanksgiving Mad Lib that you can download for free online, which just shows you can really find anything you want on the internet. So we can do one. Thank you, Jess.
What was that game that was where they had the little circle things and you put the pieces of pie in for different thing, whether it was
Trivial Pursuit,
right? And so that was a game that was popular, and if you had sort of a, you know, general basic knowledge of things, you could do pretty well at it. I'm wondering if now with the internet, if, I mean, of course, if everyone's busy looking everything up, it's not that much fun, but I wonder if it's still the same game or if it's different or what, because how would you, like, back when that game, which was pre-internet, is you could, I know they had, you know, the answers on the back, and so you'd have to get them right, but I wonder if people sort of had a little bit of help.
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I know my husband's family is Mexican, and after Thanksgiving dinner, says 773, we relax a little, and then the dancing begins. We put on music, we listen to all different kinds of music, and we dance all night long. It's a blast. Not everybody dances. Some people don't dance at all, but they seem to enjoy watching. That is a great way to shake off the turkey blues when you've eaten too much. Because every year, Jimmy Mac just completely overloads his plate. I like to cook and serve everyone, and I just take a little bit at a time. Like, I'll have a couple pieces of turkey and some stuffing. And then the next round, I'll just have a little of the green bean casserole, even though I don't really love it. Maybe some sweet potatoes. Jim loads up his plate, so it's just like a heaping helping.
Yeah.
And everything mixes together. I wish I had divided plates because I don't like when my stuffing mixes with the green beans or the sweet potatoes.
Or the cranberry sauce is kind of swirled in with the potato. You know, I'm okay with the whole kind of big pile of stuff, whereas Maxwell and Vivian, like, she doesn't want it touching. She's
Me too.
She doesn't like it. She'll have separate plates for like, things. Okay. Yeah, she would definitely do that. Well, they have some where people get out and play, where you can play Twister. That's sort of like a...
Oh, my God. Get Grandma to play Twister.
She broke a hip. or some people get out. I remember one time near Thanksgiving, had to do some stuff with Ty Pennington. You know him from the Move That Bus thing. And he would talk about his, for Thanksgiving, him and all his brothers would go outside and basically kill each other. You know, they would play football, but it was like a sort of just a tackle whoever has the ball situation until they were. But that was one way that they kind of worked off a little bit of that meal. And then came and limped.
Right.
And then we're done.
Well, the dancing would be a good way to do it. I, of course, would like to lay on the couch. That's what I would do until the next plate.
Yeah, because, well, here's that it goes in stages. So you have your meal, and then it's a couple hours later, you go in for the next one, and then later on, and then, of course, the next day. That's one thing that is really great about Thanksgiving is it's built into it. is that whole kind of leftover situation.
All right. Well, we have a Thanksgiving Mad Lib that we're going to do after the news. Kim, you know what a Mad Lib is, don't you?
Of course.
How do you not know?
I have good adjectives, nouns, verbs.
All right. Well, we're going to do a Thanksgiving Mad Lib with both of you. But first, we're going to take a break, and then Kim Gordon has our news here on WGN Extra. Thank you so much, Kim. Mm-hmm. I appreciate it. We have a Thanksgiving Mad Lib. I can't believe you... See, Dane's a little younger than us.
I don't know if I played Mad Libs before. I mean, I'm sure I've heard of it.
But you've never done it.
I don't know that I've ever.
See, that was like how we passed it. When I went to summer camp for years, and when you got a care package from my mom, always used to send me the books of Mad Libs, and we'd all would sit around and do Mad Libs.
So
in our free time.
So the idea is you just either finish the sentence or
well,
you come up
you
with
were given
fun.
Like, you know, there's lines to fill in the blanks, but Wendy will just say to you, verb, noun, whatever, and you just pick something randomly, and then she'll go back and read it. So
right. Then it's funny.
Then it's funny. Because you don't know what the context is.
Right. We used to play Dirty Word Mad Libs, of course.
Right.
That was fun.
That's how it
was. This
really
is probably
fun, lame
because I just downloaded it online, but all right, we'll start with Kim. Okay. I need an adjective for feeling or emotion.
Furious.
All right. Dane, I need an adjective.
Big. Should I pick more obscure, weird ones?
Yeah, the weirder the better.
The weirder the better.
All right, Kim, adjective for feeling or emotion, another one.
Friendly.
All right. Dane, I need a color.
Orange.
Kim, I need a flavor.
Vanilla.
Adjective, Dane.
Tall.
See, actually, this helps kids learn the different parts of a sentence.
Odiferous.
Ooh, odiferous. Ooh. I even know how to spell it. A plural noun, Kim.
Turkeys.
Yes, this is a Thanksgiving Mad Lib, which I hope is not as stupid as I think it's going to be. Adjective, Dane.
Minuscule.
Another adjective, Kim.
Another adjective. Fluffy.
Oh, good. Plural noun, Dane.
Eggs.
Another plural noun, Kim.
Pilgrims.
Oh, I'm almost done here, by the way, and then we'll read the lovely story.
All right.
a number, Dane. 69? Okay. exclamation, Kim.
Wow.
Adjective, Dane.
Late.
As in passed along, the late. Adjective for feeling or emotion, Kim?
Sad.
Sad. I see the tree time people here who are putting up the tree time Christmas creations tree.
Is there any chance for an extra noun that I could say horn of plenty?
No, you're too late. So it's Thanksgiving Day, a day to be furious and to celebrate with family. We're all gathered here at the table feeling big and hungry.
Well, that's true on Thanksgiving. We all feel a little bit.
That's a laughter.
These are so fun. Listeners, I hope you're playing along at home. And you can download this. Jasmine, I need to give you the link for people to...
That'd be fun to do at your Thanksgiving table. Kids would love it.
Yeah, they would.
Yeah.
The doorbell rings and in walks our friendly grandmother. She made her famous orange vanilla pie and it couldn't smell better.
I smell
the odoriferous turkey cooking in the oven as I sit here talking about turkeys with my cousin. All this minuscule food is calling my name, but I'm stuck playing this lame word game. I'm sorry. I messed something up. Oh, no. Okay. Father has the fluffy idea that we should each tell what we are thankful for this year. I say I'm thankful for eggs. and Pilgrims.
All right.
In that order.
And Mother was so proud, she shed a tear. Aww. After a while, Mother shouts from the kitchen that we only have 69 minutes left to wait. I jump out of my chair and shout, "Wow, that's great." After we finish our meal, clear the dishes, and compliment the late pie crust, we all say our goodbyes and drive home feeling sad and stuffed. This would be fun to get the kids involved in.
Yeah. Well, we're going to do this. We're going to definitely.
I'm going to print it out for my nephew. He'll love it. He's 12.
Look at this.
I am going to. Boy, this is. I'll figure it out.
It'll be on your Facebook page?
Yeah, or? Small Stuff Counts. That's where it came from. But I'm just going to send you this, Jasmine, and you could make a better one, though, yourself, don't you think?
That's cute. Then you don't have to go through the effort.
Really, because you're going
to
be...
One less thing to do.
I am so with you on that. Are you hosting Thanksgiving this year?
I am not this year because my kitchen is under construction.
Oh, that's a great excuse.
Yeah. We're going out to dinner. I'm taking a Bill Left move.
Whoa.
So but I am going to a traditional Thanksgiving. I'm not going to, you know, Chinese food.
Well, you're
going to
bring your own Chinese to the traditional
Thanksgiving.
Yeah, exactly,
in a bag. Although I don't love Thanksgiving food either, but I do like at least eat it. I like the sides. I'm not a real huge turkey stuffing fan. I like all the veggies and the sides, but I'm very excited because this buffet we're going to has Raw Bar, and that's right up my alley.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
We all have our own traditions and trying to think of things that we... I always have to make green bean casserole. I don't like it at all.
I don't love it.
I always have a spoonful, don't you, though?
Yeah, you have to. It's just a little milky for me. Like, I just don't love it.
I kind of like it. It's that's... You've got the green bean casserole, then you've got, like, the onion rings. Like
turkey's onions.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I make a great sweet potato casserole that has, like, a pecan brown sugar topping, and then I take... I make the topping, and then on half of it, like, I'll put a little topping, and then I'll do marshmallows, then topping, so you can kind of either combo it or go straight marshmallows or straight topping.
Wow.
Oh, I like that. You get a choice
there.
It's funny, though, because, you know, I used to use, like, what is a lasagna pan? A 9 by 13. So I would make that of the sweet potatoes, just the candied where it's orange juice and melted butter and brown sugar, and then the marshmallows, of course. And it seemed like I had so much left of that. And when I said, you know, no one really eats it, I'm going to stop making it, everyone complained.
They all go crazy. I know.
So now I just do an 8x8 little glass dish of it. And it's big enough where if you really want it, you can have some.
That's my favorite. I love sweet potatoes.
I like just regular sweet potatoes.
Well, I just love a baked sweet potato.
Yeah.
The sides really do make it, though. The turkeys, it can be kind of sort of mundane, right? It is what it is. Either it's like, wow, it's really dry, or maybe it's really okay. But it isn't necessarily the star. It's the sides. And you've got all of the, you know, like the mashed potatoes and gravy is really great. And I even enjoy the cranberries. And
I love that gelatinous thing that comes out
of
the
for whatever
can.
Reason.
See, I'd make this, and I do make really good cranberry sauce that has bourbon in it. And it is delicious.
So people out there.
With dark cherries and cranberries, it's delicious.
You can do more. It's not either or, and, right? You can diversify your cranberry
so
options.
So good.
My Auntie Mary's Jello is always represented.
Oh,
and
we were talking about that last week.
Yeah, it's just raspberry Jello with pineapple and walnuts and sour cream, and it's two layered. So I mentioned we had a family cookbook that one of my cousins put together. My grandmother, being Italian, all her sisters had a different spaghetti sauce recipe. My grandma put the whiskey in it. Auntie Celia used wine and cinnamon. They all had like one different ingredient just so they could call it their own. And they would never share with one another. So they're probably going to haunt us knowing that, you know, we all have their sauce recipes. But no one can recreate Auntie Mary's Jello exactly because the measurements are off. It's like one box of Jello. Well, big box or little box. Back then, there was only one size.
Yeah, I told you this the other day. Like, I had an issue because my sister-in-law used to make this Jello with orange sherbet and orange Jello and blueberries, and you had one layer was just the orange Jello with the blueberries, and the top was you mix orange sherbet with the Jello, and I could never get it to come out right.
Like, not the right consistency?
It was a little too runny.
Yes.
And all I did was back off on the water.
Oh, you did say that.
And it works. I just backed off on the water a little bit, and it gelled up So if it, they say if it's a half a cup of water, try a quarter cup of water. Just back off a little bit.
All right.
And here's the other thing, too. Is like the pedestrian everyday, you know, ocean spray, cranberry, jellied stuff. You know, I think we have sort of this romantic attachment to it. Like, I like it.
It's good.
The, and then you've got this, you know, stovetop stuffing, where it's just regular.
I've never used stovetop.
I'll eat that. We also have
Pepperidge Farm or something.
Or whatever. I don't know.
But stovetop is an instant stuffing, which I've had, like, for meals during the week. But I don't know if that's, like, what people use for Thanksgiving. Maybe they do.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, so we'll have that as an extra thing, but then my wife makes us like really good rice stuffing with all sorts of, you know, like whether there's like raisins in it, sausage and all sorts of different kind of spices is really good, you know. So we'll have multiple. But I like those homage to kind of your everyday pedestrian.
I've always wanted to try a cornbread stuffing, and my family goes crazy. Like, you cannot.
They don't want
to
deviate.
No, they don't want. They want the regular stuffing I always make.
See, it's just tradition, and everybody is so hesitant to change. But here's what's confusing: you can make new traditions,
right?
Can't you?
Yeah,
because we don't. No one will let me. My father-in-law always wants corn, and just I'm sorry, I just get the canned Del Monte corn.
Dump it in a bowl.
Dump it in a, you know, a little microwave safe dish. I put a hunk of butter on it.
Zap it and go.
And every year we sit down to eat and they say, where's the corn? And I'm like, it's in the stupid microwave. Every year.
That's so funny.
So now if I remember, I'm going to, of course, intentionally leave it back. But you need to have corn. Come on. Can you just have one meal without corn?
Well, I had a friend who, you know, every Thanksgiving they would have traditional Thanksgiving and lasagna.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
We do pasta usually for Christmas. We do every year. And, you know, Italian cold cuts. That's the Italian side of me. I could eat that all the time. I could make lasagna for Thanksgiving. But it, you know what? No, I couldn't.
It just seems weird, doesn't it?
It would seem
weird.
But
they always had, like, they have a huge family. And so they had turkey and all the stuff. And they always had their traditional Thanksgiving lasagna.
What did you guys have as far as, like, your kind of... like before everything happens, kind of a little appetizer platters and plates, because my mom makes really good deviled eggs. So
we don't get them now.
You know, once in a great while, you know, they'll be available. But or like the celery with the cream cheese.
That's
thing
what
in there.
My mother-in-law makes.
Ants on a log.
No, has the raisins, and this is just cream cheese and paprika on it.
That'd be like a little bit of that.
My mother-in-law, and she also will put together like a relish tray with pickles, sweet and dill, and green and black olives, and you know, it's somehow got its name. Well, I'll bring the accoutrement. So now it's like, are you bringing the accoutrement again this year? You know, and it's just a veggie thing. And then I always have pepperoni, fontanella cheese, and stuff like that. And you don't need a lot of appetizers because you're sitting down to this big honking meal.
Yeah, we do it differently because I think I might have told you guys this in the past. We do usually when I have Thanksgiving, we do a complete day. So what we do is have like a bunch of big appetizers and a Bloody Mary bar around 11 o'clock. And we do, like the family lasagna, we do a family taco dip. And we have like taco dip and cheese and crackers and all this kind of stuff around 10:30, 11. And then we don't eat till like 6.
Oh.
So that's how we do it.
Boy, your family's there a long time.
Yeah, it's great though. Everybody's watching football. My dad always has a poker game for the kids. Oh, so it's,
Wendy's like, her thought is, it wasn't anything about the food or anything. It's like, geez, they're there a long
time. Well, and some people, like my brother and sister-in-law live close. So, you know, when my nephew was little, they would go home for a while, come back, you know.
Gotcha,
and I'm realizing I've always said I love my in-laws. I don't have parents anymore. I would have handpicked them to be my parents. They're great. And I love having them over. But I always talk about what a great time and no one gets in any arguments. Maybe it's because we, you know, they come over at 4 and they're
like
usually gone
minutes.
By. No, they usually leave
drive through Thanksgiving.
They stay till 10. And
by then
I'm ready to go to bed. I'm tired.
Yeah,
and Jimmy Mack does all the dishes.
That's nice.
I can't even tell you what a great husband he is once a year. But yeah, that's a long day though. If they're coming for a Bloody Mary at 11.
We all just hang out and then, you know, my husband loves to cook. Like his job is the turkey and the stuffing and the mashed potatoes. Those are the three things he loves to do and he does them every year and it's going to be weird this year not doing it.
And I have, One of my sister or my sister's bringing a friend of hers who just has never been at our house before. And I said, did you explain to her that we're a little dysfunctional? And she said, yeah, I said, it's pretty casual. You don't have to dress up and you just kind of go there and eat and play animal bingo if you want and hang out as little or as long as you want. I love having someone over for the first time.
It's fun.
I just think people should have some place to go.
Absolutely. We did that a couple years ago. We were having Thanksgiving and Stuart was taking the garbage out and there were these two women that were cleaning out their parents' house. They had passed away that right across the street from us. And he said to them, are you celebrating Thanksgiving? They're like, no, we're just, you know, not doing anything. And he's like, come over. And they ate with us and it was great. It was nice to have new people to talk to.
I love that.
It was really nice. It was, you know.
That's pretty cool.
Made it a really
nice
Thanksgiving.
That's kind of the spirit of kind of the whole thing. So
yeah.
When you remember when we had Jane Manzurison and she was talking a little bit about some of the, you know, the Christmas stuff and the things that she's doing at Tree Time. We've got the Tree Time folks here erecting the homage to Christmas and all of the things that are going to be happening here. Remember we had talked about that at some point, and I don't know if we were just kind of spitballing during that show, but we were saying that at some point during the Thanksgiving day or meal that there should be this, I don't know, virtual ball drop thing where then you are officially into the whole, it's acceptable to kind of preview and celebrate the whole kind of holidays time. You
well,
know,
I kind of feel
like a
that's,
moment, like it's
well,
no.
There is that moment when you know you watch the Macy's Day Parade and at the very end of the parade, here comes Santa Claus. It's like, here we go, you know. Holidays have
show.
Officially begun.
I got to watch the dog show.
The
what?
Dog show's good. But I love the Macy's Day Parade. That is one of my bucket list items.
So that makes sense because it's called the Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Yeah.
So that sort of fits. And then, of course, you've got the turkey situation at the NFL football games. You usually have a couple of those.
Right, when they break the legs.
The turkey situation,
they eat a turkey at the – you know, there's like three NFL games on Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah.
And so – I think it's like the middle game where they roll out the turkey and the players like grab the legs.
I don't watch. Yeah.
Well, so now you associate, Wendy, this dog show with Thanksgiving. I'm not aware of is this like the Westminster?
Yeah. It's always shown on Thanksgiving.
That guy,
Jay Peterman.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Jay Peterman from Seinfeld hosts it every year.
So, I didn't know that it was specifically on that day.
Oh, yeah, it always is.
We got
in the afternoon.
And Mad Libs. Wow, we're just breaking new ground. So then you'll watch this. Is there a lot of drama? I mean, I've seen it where they lead him around and then they'll whisper like it's a golf outing, like, and his Fluffy's tail
right.
is looking really good.
He's in proper form.
He's a working dog.
But his anal glands are impacted, so I don't know if that will technically have an impact on things.
So this is a thing that happens specific. So people look for this on Thanksgiving.
Oh yeah,
oh, yeah.
Wow. Okay. Steve Dale goes nuts about it.
It follows. Wow. I believe it follows the parade on NBC.
You know what? I think you're right because I always Jim's going to see some Grateful Dead cover band the night before. My son Michael has a gig the night before, and I'm his roadie. So we will be out late, and then come Thanksgiving morning, I have to get up and get all this stuff started. And Jim rolls out of bed every year and turns that parade on, and yeah. I'm so glad he does because I'm busy doing stuff. It's so nice to hear it and see it.
Oh, I love it. And honestly, a couple times, you know, they always have previews or do a little snippet from Broadway shows, and it kind of like, oh, I want to go see that or I want to see that because you see, you know, new shows that are popping up in New York and nothing like waving to Big Bird and Elmo too, coming down the
obscure characters that don't really have good agents or a lot of PR. You'll see a Bullwinkle or an underdog
right?
Oh, the balloon. You know,
I love
balloons
them.
Are always an issue because if the wind's not right, they can't.
That's right.
You know, wasn't that an episode of Seinfeld? Peterman should be hosting that and put somebody else on the dog
show.
That's
Al Roker is the balloon guy.
Oh, he is.
Yeah,
they do. Right, they have sort of the Doppler of like, well, the winds are coming out of here, and this is going to be tough for you know.
Got to hold them down or you can't inflate them.
And now with Thanksgiving being a week later than usual, there's not going to be enough time in between that and Christmas to get things done.
Yeah. They're concerned about that.
When is Hanukkah?
Hanukkah, you know what? I don't even know. But I think it's during Christmas this year, close to it.
Okay.
I haven't looked. Not there yet.
Yeah, I know.
I'm still in denial. It's Thanksgiving.
It is, but, you know, now that my kids are older, it's pretty easy. I mean, before, it's like you had these toys that you had to get them.
Yes.
You know, I remember when the Wii came out, it was like, you know, Best Buy had a couple. My cousin Susie went there in her little tiny sports car. It was like a blizzard. She went there early to wait in line to make sure she got one of those for the kids. You know, now with them, Amazon has made my life so much easier. Absolutely. I mean,
everybody's life. Are you kidding? Yeah.
I don't even know what they're kind of just at as of like this holiday, at that point where they, you know, they have phones, at least two of them do. And so the normal like toy situation doesn't necessarily apply. Now I could get them video games, but I'm not super on board with them spending more time doing that.
Right.
So I'm trying to think of like what to get them. I have no other than clothes or things that.
Well, you know what I do for my nephew who's now 12, and we've done this for the past couple of years. Instead of buying him a Hanukkah present, I buy tickets and we go to some event together.
Idea.
And it's.
That's
been
a great
so
idea.
Much fun and so meaningful. We've gone to plays, we've
that
gone to concerts, and we go to, you know, we go out for a really nice dinner, whatever he wants. He gets to pick the restaurant, then we go to the play or the concert. Last year we saw Michael Bublé. He loves crooners. It was fantastic. We had a greatest time.
That's a really good idea, because I'm thinking to myself, well, there's no toy that makes sense. There isn't anything that's on that. And he's kind of like, he's not saying like, I really want, you know, where normally they've been doing that since they were little. Here's what I want.
They don't have a list going? God, I got lists coming out the yin-yang for everything my kids want.
Yeah. So
it's all video game related,
right?
Or music.
Okay. Yeah, but I like the experience side of it.
That's a good idea.
It's great. It's honestly great, especially for preteens or, you know, tweens. It's a great thing. And you get to spend good quality time.
Don't they? I don't mean to be rude, but a teen, aren't they going to go, this is great. Is there a gift too?
Well, he knows it's a, you know, it's not cheap. And
right.
And well, I told him last year when he was 11, I'm like, how long will you continue to do this with me? So he said a long time. We'll wait and see when he turns 15 or 16. But
yeah, you don't want to get him the experience. Like, are we going to have fun? You're like, can I bring Larry?
Right.
And then you got to be like, yeah, I guess so.
What little kid has a friend named Larry?
Larry's my default name.
It's your imaginary friend.
All right, we have to take a break. Kim, that is a great idea. Thank you for sharing. And less water. When in life your Jello doesn't mold,
that's right.
Less water. Quick break, and then I'll thank Dane Neal for sitting in for Bill today on WGN Extra. Good night. Good night. Until we meet again. Adios. Au revoir.
Au revoir.
Aviator Zane till then. All right. Thank you very much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow, and we have a pretty busy show tomorrow, and I can't remember what it is, so stay tuned to find out. We do have a couple of the actors from the Simon and Garfunkel show.
That's going to be pretty cool.
Taylor Bloom and Ben Cooley. I may have to see that. Maybe that would be a good Christmas gift for one of my boys.
Oh, well, maybe, because your kids are up to speed and like a lot of music that isn't necessarily from today, right? They like a lot of great...
Oldies, but goodies.
Yeah. Well, and not everything. I think that, and we'll talk with them about it tomorrow, but will really lend itself to, I think, a decent play. Not every band, you know, may make good theater style entertainment.
Like Sam and Dave the musical. It wasn't as interesting. All right. Well, thank you very much for listening. We're going to try it again tomorrow. Dane, you're in for the rest of the week, correct?
Yep.
Lucky
I'll be here.
You get to work with me for the rest of the week. All right. Thank you. And ta-ta.
Serving the great Midwest from Chicago, this is WGN at AM 720 on your radio and on smart devices anywhere just by saying play WGN Radio on TuneIn.
WGN Chicago.
A Nexstar Media Group station.